good people, it's your girl Frederica McClary Easley, and we are back with another episode of The People Are Blunt. Bow, 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 bow.
I love it already.
Yes, you know we feed off that energy. Before we jump in, good people, merch. So today I have on Legacy to Legends.
That's dope.
Thank you. You see the ticker for our merch and wellness lines. Please visit thepeoplesecosystem.com. And without further ado, also like, subscribe, all that good stuff. We are on YouTube. We are now on Spotify, Apple Music, and Amazon Prime Music. I didn't realize Amazon Prime had music, but they doing big things out here. So we are on all of the platforms. So many more ways for you to find us and to hear from the mouths of so many dope people who I've had the pleasure of chopping it up with. And speaking of dope people, I am here with two dope individuals today. I'm going to throw it to the gents, allow them to introduce themselves, say hey to the people so we could jump into it because we got shit to talk about. So.
Yeah. How you doing? I'm Carlo. I'm here with Dinesh. What I do though is work at a place called Blaze. But today, you know, really we're bringing up Project Dream. It's a place where Dinesh and I volunteer. And at Dream, I'm pretty much a project leader. I try to get a lot of things through with the experience I've had leading affinity groups in the past in my corporate career. Dinesh, a little bit about you.
Like Carlo said, my name is Dinesh. I'm one of the owners of Herbaculture. We're a vertical cannabis company in Maryland, a medical cannabis company in Maryland. And, you know, our big thing for us is being a minority and female owned company in Maryland. We're hard to find. We're actually the only female minority owned vertical company in Maryland. And so a big part of us and who we are as a company is to give back to the community. And so knowing this and wanting to make ways for people that have often been voiceless in the community, we wanted to give them a voice, and the best way we thought to do that was to come together, form a group, and Carlo's been a huge help for that and just a big part of that. So we're coming together to form this group to give people that are often overlooked or voiceless, and giving them a voice and presenting them with opportunities to kind of have a better life within and around the cannabis community.
That's awesome. So first of all, real quick, because you said the company is minority owned and women owned. And so do you want to shout out your other partners real quick?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we are, we're actually a family business. So it is myself, my brother, my sister-in-law, who's his wife, and pretty much everyone in our generation is pretty much doing all the legwork, right? So, you know, we have our family members, my sister-in-law's sister, her husband, you know, they're involved in helping us as well. So it is basically just, you know, it's a bunch of, I guess you can classify as millennials, but just kind of taking charge and leading the way and trying to, you know, playing the big game with the big boys. And, you know, we're often the underdog, and we're here to compete and make a name for not only ourselves, but other people like us, you know, black and brown people within the community, again, that are often the most impacted and voiceless. And so that's what we want to do. So my family is here to kind of give to those the opportunities that, you know, we're fortunate enough to have because of the struggles that we had to go through, but to thereby prevent those struggles hopefully in the future for them.
So first of all, shout out to the fam, and honestly it takes a village, right? Is what, when we're talking about making things happen, and we're talking about, you know, marginalized community, we're talking about, you know, women owned businesses and things of that nature. This is the stuff that we have to do, right? Especially in cannabis, it's hard to get VC. It's hard to get capital, you know? And we know that the numbers are really low, like specifically for BIPOC, and they get lower as you throw women into the fold. But I remember seeing some numbers from Crunchbase from 2020 that said that, like, out of over 80 million that was raised that year, minorities only accounted for 2.6% So out of all of that money, it was $2.3 million, and minorities only accounted for 2.6%. So as you're speaking to it being a family endeavor, like these are the things that like BIPOC communities and women have to do in order to make it happen. So shout out to y'all.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So before we get into dreams, because one of the other things that we like to talk about are like transferable skills, right? And how there's so many people now in the cannabis space who like had lives before this, right? Like Carlo, you introduced yourself and you were talking about Blaze. Blaze?
Yeah. Short for Trailblazer. Okay. That's why we didn't put the E, because it's not like for smoking. It's for
right
being some pioneers and whatnot.
And you know what? We okay with the entendres. So like if it was Blaze, you know, we good with that. But real quick before we dig in terms of, you know, what you're doing outside of the space or what led you to the space, let's for a minute just kind of dive into your relationships with cannabis and like what led you to dream and to this endeavor.
Yeah, that's actually a perfect question. I think to tie everything together from what we got going on today and how, you know, cannabis and technology for me really
okay
together and why all of this is really, you know, very important to me. So I used to work in the tech industry and I got in an accident, life change, now have chronic pain. So that's when cannabis started coming more into play. I still had a lot of passion for what I was doing in my career. So as I got deeper into cannabis, I always knew entrepreneurship was something for me. Unfortunately, with chronic pain, for people out there who know or have disabilities, you know, life is very different for you. So, you know, I have a great team that understands, you know, my place in life now. So they're able to work around, you know, my needs to be able to continue to move things forward for all of us, which is great. And then, you know, my black and brown peeps, so they know what's up. You know, so they're all technologists as well. And we all actually met through dance though. So I used to host hip hop events. We all met at my event at some form or the other. And that's how we've all got connected, but we've always had these different passions within technology as well. So when I got into cannabis, I saw a lot of things that, you know, for me, technology could use, but a lot of the work I've done in tech was bringing minorities into technology. And I saw in cannabis, that was like another severe, big lack of peoples who look like me, people who have like the same vision. And I think we have a lot to bring, and not think, right? I've seen, you know, what the type of inclusion and diversity initiatives that a company can do to actually increase their efforts for their business as well. So I've seen it, you know, really be powerful for places like Microsoft and Amazon, where, you know, people with different cultures can really bring the change you need to make it to the next level. So basically I saw that same need, a lot of those same intersections I saw in my past here in cannabis, having the medical need for cannabis. So all that just kind of came together when, it, you know, I was looking to make a choice on where I want to bring all my talent and passion to.
You know, sorry. It's so funny. And I'm going to go to you next. I'm going to go to you next, Dinesh. But it's so funny because, you know, people try to cannabis is special. Let's say that, like, this plant is special. But when people are thinking about the industry, they initially think of it as separate from like the global economy or like, you know, like mm-hmm. all industries that currently exist. Mm-hmm. It's like whatever you're doing over here, you can do that over here.
Right.
Whatever issues or limitations exist over here, like cannabis is just a microcosm
right.
of existing
right.
industries.
Right.
You know,
that's something I've had to explain to a lot of people is that cannabis business is not just hands on the plant. Right. It's a lot more to it. It's a business and it has all the facets of business too. Right. So it's multifaceted. You have everything, HR, accounting, management, everything you can think of that any other standard business would have is here, except probably to a higher extent because of all the intricacies of cannabis and the legalities involved. So there's
exactly.
a lot of need for people with different types of expertise to come into this field that they're completely unaware of.
Yeah, absolutely. So Dinesh, what's your story? background?
My story. Okay, so my background, I'm obviously, I shouldn't say obviously, I'm an immigrant, right? I came here when I was young, about 5 years old, a little before I turned five, I was here. So, you know, I came here, I had to learn the language, all that stuff. So I grew up in a kind of like a multicultural mush, if you will, right? So I grew up with my background, my culture, I'm from Sri Lanka. So my parents, that was what they knew. That's how I was raised, very, very much with the Sri Lankan culture. And in that culture comes the taboo of cannabis. My whole life I grew up hearing, don't go near it. It's bad for you. Don't do that. But yet I'm seeing everybody around me drinking profusely, right? Unbelievably, right? To the point where they're passing out drunk. And then, so I'm hearing all this stuff about cannabis is bad. Don't do weed. It's bad for you. Oh, but alcohol is part of our culture. We're going to drink instead, right? And so I get old enough to start drinking. I start drinking and I wake up the next day feeling like, well, bad. Let's just put it like
that. Like you were hit by a Mack truck.
Yeah. I mean, that's putting it lightly, right? And so, to leave the details out of all the vomiting and all that stuff.
You just put it in.
I said details. But yeah, it was bad. It was a bad experience, right?
He found himself in the bathtub. Okay, continue.
And so it was a bad experience as I got older. You know, I started to, once I started getting into college and learning about, you know, what it takes to really educate yourself and become knowledgeable in a certain field, I started doing my own research, right? Come to find out, you know, no one's died from cannabis. There's never been a single research paper or documentation of a person dying from cannabis and overdosing on it. Yet everywhere you look, you can find ODs on other things. So that was my first trigger, like, okay, if you can't die from it, why is this so bad, right? Why is it so bad for you? So I started, you know, and then fast forward, I got my degree. I got a couple degrees and my bachelor's, my master's.
You said a couple degrees.
Wait, hold on, because that was just a light flex, right? It's like, so I got my degree. Well, I got a couple degrees.
Okay. The flex wasn't intentional.
You know what? A lot of flexes usually aren't, right? Like a lot of flexes usually aren't. It's just like, I got a couple of degrees. Okay, but
I tend to leave that out because I don't want it to be, I don't want the notion to be twisted with education equates to intelligence, right? I'm a fond believer of you can be very intelligent without having that piece of paper. But
absolutely. Right, absolutely.
But yeah,
education is education. Absolutely, right? Absolutely. It's not linked to formal like colleges and institutions, universities, right. Those places of learning. Right. Everybody can read, you know, right. You can go get a book, right. You know, you can educate yourself. So absolutely. Right. Thank you for making that distinction though.
Oh, absolutely.
0 degrees.
And he's smart. One of the smartest people, right? So I really don't care for degrees, but anyways, that's beside the point. That's not why we're here. But anyway,
he's without debt. You got all these degrees, but I mean, unless your parents pay for it or you have scholarships, like, I don't want to know what your student loans look like.
Right. But yeah, so, you know, I got through my college and before I jumped into this, I was doing a couple other things. I also was, I got certifications in personal training, sports nutrition. So I was doing that for a while, shifted gears, started teaching. Essentially, all I knew before getting into this was that I wanted to give back to people. I wanted to help change their lives. I wanted to do something that made a difference in people's lives where I could see that change firsthand, right? And so that's why I was doing training. That's why I then went from training to teaching, right? It's all about helping people. But then, you know, once I was teaching full time. We got our dispensary up and running, and I was also going to the dispensary. So my days essentially consisted of, well, wake up at 5 a.m., right? Get ready, go to school, teach these kids. Immediately after I'm done with school and whatever I had to do for these kids, I head straight over to the dispensary, work there till 9, 10. By the time I get home after closing the shop, it's 11, sometimes 11:30, 12, have my dinner, go to bed, it's 1, and I do it all over again. Eventually, you get burned out, and I had to make a decision. What do I want to do? How do I want to make the biggest impact in the best way I possibly can? And so my decision was to come full on into cannabis and kind of step away from teaching and training because I felt like I could make kind of headway here where there's a lot of room to go, right? There's a lot of things that need to be fixed within the community, just starting from legalization and then onward, right? So there's a lot of room to grow and a lot of things that need to get done. And I felt like I could make the biggest impact with my family working together toward, you know, positive change. And so that's kind of what got me here. And, you know, along those lines, you know, going back to the whole cultural division thing, you know, having that sense of, oh, this is taboo, this is taboo. And I wanted to break that stigma, right? My whole life, it has been me breaking stereotypes, right? People look at me, they hear me, and I'm always a surprise, right? When I was in my undergrad career, I was the only person of color in my degree, right? And I would get comments like, you're doing physics? What are you doing in physics? Or, oh, Dinesh, I didn't think you were like that. Or for whatever, just because I'm brown and I talk a certain way, you know, like all my classmates and professors were all surprised. Great people, but surprised. and, you know, I just wanted to break stereotypes, right? And so I thought, what better way to do that? This is such an important piece that a lot of people need to learn about. Right, my culture and others. So here I am trying to break the stereotype, break the stigma, educate people, show them that this is not what, you know, your mentality is telling you. It's not that. It's actually the opposite. So,
and I think the important thing is, you know, these stigmas, the stigma around cannabis is a global stigma. You know, it's not you know, just the U.S. alone, and the U.S. in a lot of ways. We've used our influence, right? And we've used our positioning and our power to influence other countries, you know, other continents in terms of how they interact and how they engage with this plant. So, okay, awesome. So that's dope. Now let's dig into it. What is Dream?
Okay. So Dream is like where we all kind of culminate together, right, into cannabis, equity, bringing passion back to the people. So we work with the Maryland Medical Dispensary Association, the MDMDA.
Yep.
So within this trade association, they're able to get the word out that we're looking for a group of people to come together as an affinity group, meaning that we're a group of volunteers with a mission in mind that's usually based for social change. So within this group, you know, we thought the affinity group worked because a lot of dispensaries, especially in the small business world, right, if they're not part of an MSO, like their team is 20 to 30 folks. And if you imagine an affinity group needs at least 20 to 30 volunteers actively to be able to accomplish a lot of great and big things for a community. So within an association, we're able to get a lot of small businesses to come together, a lot of leaders to volunteer their time and actually, you know, come up with Dream. Meaning that we do things with trying to make like relief and safe spaces, building education, advocating for better policies, and also doing better management. So,
so I'm just going to tell you, when I was doing my homework and I saw Infinity Group, right, I immediately went to Marvel. I was like, where are the stones at? Like, I was like, I need to see the stones. Where are the stones at? But also because, you know, like language is important. Mm-hmm. And so it definitely paints a picture, you know, it paints a picture when you see that, because you think of the power that was created when all those stones were together. Mm-hmm. So when I think of this affinity group that you all have created, that's what I'm thinking about, like the power that that the collective can bring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
I love it.
Yeah, so like, so what are some of like the things that we got to do last year?
Yeah, so we had, so we're a fairly new group. So, but even being new, we were able and fortunate enough to still set up a bunch of different events. And keep in mind, this is still smack dab in the middle of COVID. So we were still able to do it. You know, we found ways that were safe and allowed people to gather for our positive causes. And so, you know, we had some mixers, some events where we would gather in Baltimore, where was it?
At a brewery.
At a brewery. And, you know, we would just all come together, just have a good time, but ultimately with the purpose being to discuss various topics, right? Whether that be veterans in the industry or, you know, the struggles of minorities to come up in the industry or whatever it may be. you know, we were fortunate enough to kind of get those topics out there. And one thing I wanted to also touch on, I don't think you mentioned it, Carlo, but the one thing we want to do in Dream is provide folks with an opportunity to kind of enter and grow in the sense of mentorship. So that's another one of our focuses in that, you know, people might hear about cannabis, but they don't really know much about it. Again, a lot of people oftentimes think it's just hands on the plant kind of deal. And so we want to show people that that's not the case and show them like, hey, you know, what, come to us, what are your interests? Let us try to match you up with someone that can mentor you and help you grow, help give you some kind of guidance so that you can kind of get to the next level and achieve those dreams that you have within the industry that maybe you didn't even know you had. But now that you have an opportunity to enter, we'll now explore your options, right? And so that,
that's perfect. That's perfect because one of my questions, one of the things that was interesting to me and I wanted you all to dig into is the choice program, right? Mm-hmm. So essentially this is like a placement program or training for those who are interested in the industry. So can you expand a little bit on that? Like what the program is all about?
Yeah, so that's another great thing that we're trying to do now this year, expanding from a lot of, you know, mentorship and networking events last year. So we're trying to reach out more to the community through the Choice Program. Shout out to them. They're part of UMBC at the Schreiber Center. They work with primarily Black and Latinx youth in Baltimore. They work with, you know, a lot of ranges within that, but the primary 16 to 24. And the easiest way I could say is that they try to get people back to work or back to school. So we're trying to help out in part of that, a little bit of both. So we'll be partnering with the Cleveland School of Cannabis. Shout out to Kevin and Tyrone.
Shout out to Kevin. Yeah, yeah. What's going on, Bo?
So we'll be working with them to put together a dispensary training program. And then we have a few folks like SunMed out in Northeast Maryland, one of the biggest cultivators in Maryland actually already promised to kick off the program. So we're pretty much mostly there and covered to make this happen. And, you know, got a couple other folks we're talking to, and hopefully I'll hear from them next week. But basically, I'm 100% sure it's happening. I got caught up and the Choice Program yesterday. Everything's on lock, you know. So announcement coming in May, y'all. Y'all get the scoop early.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, so shout out to SunMed for pretty much being the ones to kick it off and lock this whole program down, actually, for us in Maryland. And it actually started with a tour there. So shout out to SunMed. They were like, hey, what can we do for y'all? And we did a tour with the Choice Program at first, and that was super exciting. You know, we felt like there was a lot of synergy between the groups and the mission of trying to bring more, you know, just positivity to the people in Maryland, the communities here where they do business. So, you know, I really appreciate that they see that need, and they'll be supporting us through this. We did a tour, and now we'll be doing education and now getting people jobs at dispensaries in and around the city. So, yeah, they'll be covering them for a Cleveland School of Cannabis training, get them a device, some internet, and a stipend to work through this program and get them some jobs.
So one, I love all of that, right? I love, because a lot of us are hands-on, you know, learners. And so mm-hmm. having a program where it is marrying, you know, the actual like tangible with the data, with the information, I think that's a beautiful partnership. Mm-hmm. Also, yes, I mean, these businesses, like if you're making money in these communities, then you also need to be reinvesting. And mm-hmm. so that is very important. And also in terms of, you know, expanding the scope beyond retail or beyond dispensaries, because, you know, we find that specifically for like marginalized communities, we get kind of pigeonholed or we get kind of directed to retail or to delivery. Mm-hmm. But there's a whole other supply chain out there. And there are all kinds of ancillary businesses that we talked about earlier. So I think it's really important that you all are like broadening the scope of really like what's possible here. Mm-hmm. So question, because you mentioned, you know, Dream is fairly new, but you all are still doing big things. Like you're paving the way, climbing through, you know, the growing pains of operating during a pandemic, because we are still in a global pandemic. But what has been some of the most exciting, what has been like, I would say like one or two of the most exciting things for you all that's keeping this group, that's keeping the Infinity Group motivated to move forward with this?
Yeah, some.
The most exciting, are you asking most exciting moment that we had? I would say our first event. I would say that was most exciting for me, just because it was the very first thing. It made everything real. Before that, it was just discussions. I shouldn't say just, but it was discussions. We hadn't necessarily come together, right? And so our first event at it was a restaurant in Baltimore. It was awesome. You know, we had the top,
yeah, a little private time,
yeah, a little
spot.
Private spot on the second floor. So it was nice.
Oh, y'all did it big.
it was good. It was a good size. It was,
I mean, we talked.
It was intimate.
Yeah.
It was intimate, but very, very productive, and just,
yeah.
It was awesome. You know, it was nice to finally see something happening, and
yeah.
From there it just started kind of snowballing in a positive way, right? That led to another event, to another event, to another event. We've had multiple mixers, right? And so every time we get together, it's nice because you have people with common interests and goals, being positive, right?
Yeah,
I think that's the important part, because we mm-hmm. have positive intentions that we're trying to achieve. And to know that so many people are invested in that way, you know, that is further motivation to keep going, right? To know that there's more than just us two or three or four. There's a whole group of us that genuinely are interested. And whether they're part
yeah.
of Dream or not, we had plenty of people that weren't necessarily members of Dream, but came out to show their support. And we love that. Right, because that,
oh, yeah.
that just by coming out, you're supporting the cause, and you're showing that, you know, you're backing it and you're here for it. You want to see positive change, and to see that support just means everything.
I mean, we first of all, we love parties with purpose,
right?
So that's amazing, and we all need allies. You know,
mm-hmm.
everyone
mm-hmm.
has a role to play. You may not need to be a member, but you
right.
know, having that network, and if we mm-hmm. reach out and we call upon you
right.
answering that call, that's right. important.
Mm-hmm.
So real quick, I want to plug this, because we were talking about events, and we're talking about how one event led to another and another. If you are interested, which you should be,
mm-hmm.
and looking at pics and videos from these events that Carlo and Dinesh are talking about, please go to the lookbook. And so you can see the ticker on the bottom of the screen, www.projectdream.community/lookbook. Okay. So please go and check that out. Because yes, like, you should want to support as well. And you don't have to be in Maryland to support. You don't have to be, you know, in that area to uplift the work that that the Infinity Group is doing. You know, you can lend support wherever you are, right? So I just wanted to plug that. Okay. Absolutely. So what's next for y'all? Like, what's going on? What are some of the things? And look, you may not be able to give all the details. I get it. I understand. I know how things work. Like, you don't want to jinx it, and you may not be able to like talk too soon about it. It's still in the works. But what can you tell us in terms of like what the people should be on the lookout for?
So I'm just gonna drop a bunch of folks who we talking to. Nations run wild. really
we
shout
love
out.
Exclusive.
This is not just from Dinesh and I. We have a whole team of people. Shout out to the whole team. You'll see them on the website. It's the only way we're able to achieve this. But with the team we got going on, you know, we got expungement events. We're, you know, trying to make things happen with HBCUs in the area, working with other partners in Jersey to see what type of equity things we can do up and down the East Coast all the way up to Boston. Talking to a couple councilmen in our area. Shout out to also other great partners looking to support us for the rest of the year. Cure Relief, Weed Maps, Last Prisoner Project. So a lot of things. We'll even be at the Gary Chambers event coming up on NCF, showing some love, talking about promoting cannabis legalization. You know, so Free to Tree, of course, that's something we can get behind. Just better mm-hmm. cannabis legalization and how equity looks are some things we'll be talking about during the policy portion of the NCF week. So, you know, we'll be out there advocating for, you know, a lot of the things we all believe in. So yeah, that's the future's looking pretty mighty.
Carlo went over it rather fast, but I think it is worth a little bit more, at least 30 seconds more of a explanation about what exactly expungement is, because mm-hmm. you hear expungement and it, you know, to some people, they may not quite understand what it is. So it's expungement, legally speaking, it is getting your, in this case, cannabis offenses, nonviolent cannabis offenses removed from your record. Yeah. And that's very, very important because, to be honest, it shouldn't be prohibited. Well, you know, the prohibition of cannabis, it's a very, very deep and ugly history to it that we can talk about for hours and hours. But the biggest thing to know is that people have been wrongfully incarcerated and had their lives flipped upside down because of unnecessary charges, right, around cannabis and like really unnecessary charges, especially looking at how far we've come now, right? Yeah. You can now drive around with ounces on you if you have your medical card on you. And, you know, if we look back 20 years ago, if you had a gram on you, that's a huge deal, mm-hmm. right? And so people have been wrongfully convicted and charged with these offenses. And so that needs to be undone, right? And so that's a big part. So these expungement events, you know, that's a big part to kind of making right what has been wrong. Mm-hmm. And I think that's very, very important.
Yeah. And shout out to Councilman Martin Mitchell. He's hosting one this weekend. So I'll be posting this video as soon as we get it. Mm-hmm. And the next joints and the next joints. But yeah, shout out to Council Martin Mitchell for hosting one of these this come Saturday.
Absolutely. Shout out to the councilman. So, mm-hmm. so absolutely, it's important. I think that there are often some like misconceptions, right? Or assumptions made once a state regulates cannabis. And I just wanna take a couple minutes with you all to kind of dig into that, right? Because again, language matters, right? So you have regulation, but to be clear, cannabis still at a federal level is illegal. It is still a Schedule I. Specifically in Maryland, you all have medical, but it has not been regulated for adult use. I don't like saying recreational. I say adult use because there are many adults out there who may not have a doctor's note that denotes what their ailments are. But like if you were growing up in a war zone, you know, we know that cannabis prohibition created the war on drugs, created war zones. Just being a person of color, like, you know, you deal with so much on a daily basis that like we have fucking PTSD that may not be diagnosed. You know, we have anxiety. We have all of these issues that we just may not have been able to have properly diagnosed or officially diagnosed for a number of reasons, right? I'm not even going to go into like our systemic and institutional issues with our healthcare system. We know that those exist. But in terms of Maryland and in terms of expungement, there are often these ideas that as soon as the state regulates that everything is washed away. And there are some states that have expungement laws where, yes, it's an automatic process. There are other states where you actually, the person who has the charge or had the charge, has the mark on their record, they have to actually do something, right? Like they actually have to petition or put some things in motion. So what is the case in Maryland?
Good question. So this is actually upcoming now. I believe in November, it's going to be on the ballot essentially for adult use, right? Exactly what you said, adult use. And from my understanding, with that adult use bill, it comes the automatic revocation of those charges, the nonviolent cannabis charges. To be completely honest, I don't have as much knowledge in that field as my sister-in-law, Venus, because she's actually part of that legislative body giving feedback as to how to write these laws. And so she's the one that kind of comes back to us and gives us the updates. But as of last, from what I remember, yes, it's going to be in November. And with that
on the ballot.
It will be on the ballot. So, you know, voting is important, of course. And so with that, you know, we'll come that change where hopefully we'll come that change where, you know, the expungement can kind of happen automatically.
Right.
Right. Now we'll have to, obviously we can't predict the future. We'll have to wait and see what happens from that vote and how everything pans out. But that's kind of where we're at right now, from my understanding.
And I would say we'll have to wait and see, but in terms of waiting, people in Maryland, like if you are of voting age, register to vote. You know, like make sure you are registered. And when the time comes, when the midterm elections come in November, you need to show up and show out. You know what I mean? Like these communities, if you are a member of the cannabis culture, if you have an affinity towards it, if you just understand that cannabis prohibition was wrong. Right?
Yeah, wrong. Just that simple.
You don't even have to be a consumer, right? If you just understand that this was wrong, right? That the intentional disparate treatment of BIPOC, of Black, Indigenous, Latinx, you know, communities is wrong, was wrong, then you need to come out and you need to show up and you need to show out. I like saying, like, yo, bring soul to the pool. You know what I mean? Like, if you got a carpool, I mean, that's one of the standards of background in labor, right? So we always talk about, like, souls to the pool. But if you have to carpool, you know, whatever you need to do to make sure that your voice and your community's voice is heard, I think is absolutely important. Absolutely important. You know? So, y'all have a ton of stuff going on. Yeah, I have a ton of stuff to look forward to. Gave all kinds of shout outs. You mentioned NCS, Carlo. Do you know the dates on that? Do you want to plug the dates on that?
Oh, yeah. So 4/22, 4/23, for sure, a lot of things going on. Unfortunately,
the holiday.
Yeah, that's the big holiday, but there's things going on all week in DC. So it's going to be a great time. I think it's one of the best things you could do in the industry. It's like you could meet a lot of folks. Obviously, there's the festival aspect of it. But, you know, I think them having that whole policy week really, really just makes it above and beyond as an event to be a part of.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. So it's been the bomb kicking it with y'all. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to I have some family travel coming, so I'm going to be in, like, the DMV area.
Please come visit.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Say less. I'm definitely going to hit y'all up in advance of being in the area, just so that we can set some stuff up and be able to meet face-to-face. Parting words, gentlemen. What do y'all want people to know about Dream? How can people get involved? How can they help, regardless of if they're in the DMV area or not? Dinesh, I'll start with you, or Carlo. Come on, Carlo.
Yeah, I was going to say, last bits is, you know, thank you to Mana, Peak Relief, Marion Maine, of course.
Yes, we love Ho Tango.
Right. A lot of the people supporting us in the DMV is really means a lot. Crucial Culture out here helping us out. And with that being said, we need a lot more of y'all out there in the DMV, you know, joining
up. Call them out.
Getting up, you know, send us your people. We need your time. We need resources and we need money. All three help. Send them our way.
Yeah,
you'll have a good time. You'll get to help the people in the world. And you know, how often do you get to do all the things you want to do as a business while getting to help people? Holler at Dream, baby.
Hey!
I don't know if I can top that. Pretty much covered it all.
Where do you go from there? Holler at Dream.
Very well. we could use all the help we can get. You know, like you said earlier, it takes a village. It really does. Change doesn't come from a single person or even a small group of people. We need everybody to come together and make their voices heard, make their actions seen, right? Give a voice to those who have been voiceless too often than not, or more often than not. And so just please come help us. Anything you can do, like Carlo said, you know, it's not just money. You know, if you have resources, if you can come, just show up and support. Just your presence is enough, right? Just show up and support. Anything to help us make a difference in the community. We got a long way to go, but we're making good strides. So very, very hopeful. And I think the biggest part to us, and I can say this from definitely a dream perspective, and also a company perspective for herbiculture, being that, you know, we're not an MSO, a multi-state operator. We're just a family minority female business. You know, our goal as herbiculture is, yes, obviously to provide quality grade medical cannabis to the Maryland community. But in doing so, we must, we will never sacrifice that we must give back to the community, right? And so we can't build our company without building the community. And our company is a vehicle for change. And that's the bottom line. And so that's why we wanted to really go full on in it and get Dream started. And that's where we're trying to do with Dream is use it as a vehicle for change, bring the positive change. So please come for the ride, come along with us, and let's do this. You know, we need to work together to get it done.
Yeah.
So first of all, it's not what you're trying to do, it's what you're doing.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yes.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you. Thank Appreciate you. It.
Language matters.
Y'all not trying. Y'all doing the damn thing, right? And we all start somewhere. You know what I mean? Like every little bit counts, every effort counts, and y'all are building and y'all are putting in the work. And it's beautiful to see. I'm so happy that like I got a chance to meet Carlo. Like, I mean, ran up on you. Actually, you took a picture. That's how we met at Black CannaCon, and you took a picture of Sahir and I. And like from then we just connected, and so it was so dope. And this is how connections happen, right? Like this is how networking happens. This is how connections happen. And so I also want to figure out like how I can be more of a blessing, and add to what you all are doing.
So we definitely are doing it. We're doing it. This is a big help. We're doing it.
Well, it's nothing, right? Like I appreciate y'all coming on. And being open and being honest and vulnerable and just sharing y'all road and what y'all are trying to do. That's big. That's big. So please. Thank you. Get me together. What y'all are doing, period. It is happening. It's being done. So people, check out Dream and all of the amazing things that they're doing. Once again, here's the handle on Instagram. Once again, here's the handle to check out pics and things of that nature from the events. If you're in the DMV area, you need to be tuned in, you need to participate, you need to check in and see how you can also be a blessing and receive blessings from working with this crew, from working with the affinity group, and all the stones. Again, another amazing episode with some bomb ass people. The people are blunt, appreciate you. We thank you. Remember to like, subscribe. We're on all the platforms now: Spotify, YouTube, Amazon, Prime Music, and Apple. And until next time, y'all, real talk, real people, real blunt. Mm-hmm. They blunt it.